Our study tonight is out of Luke chapter 6, 1-11, Christ's identity as the world's Savior by his critique of heartless Sabbath legalism. If Jesus is God's Savior of the world, nowhere should this identity be clearer than in how he would differ from the distorted view Jewish legalism had made of God's ancient institution of the Sabbath day. This contrast became evident in chapter 6, 1-11, and we view it for our edification as follows. Let me read the passage, and then we'll look at it in depth. Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 1 and going to verse 11. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the ears of grain and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. They would rub the ears in their hand in order to thresh them. And then they would take the kernels and pop them in their mouths and eat them. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do you do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering then said, Have you not read so much as this, that what David did when he himself was an hungered and they which were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave it also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone? And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find a cause of accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts. And he said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Then Jesus said unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole just as the other. And they were all filled with madness or anger, and they communed one with another that what they might do to Jesus. To understand what is going on here, we have to understand not only what the Jews were teaching, the traditions that they were adding to the laws that God had, but we also have to understand how and under what conditions God originally developed the Sabbath. Because what the Jews were doing with their rules that they were adding was actually countering the initial reason for even having the Sabbath day. And Jesus, of course, got back to the original need of the Sabbath that God had instituted way back when he created the universe. When God instituted the Sabbath day, he did so as a witness that he was gracious towards man in providing him nurturing rest opposite paganism's belief that the pagan gods oppressed men on that particular day. Israel's pagan neighbors feared that their work would not prosper on the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, the 28th days of the month, connected with the four phases of the moon. These days, to which must be added the 19th of the month, which occurs 7 weeks after the beginning of the preceding month, were regarded as unlucky days in which a man should afflict himself, eschew, that means avoid pleasures, and refrain from performing important work, for they would not prosper. So that's what the pagans had. That was their view of the seventh day, every seventh day. And then, also, paganism viewed man as a slave to do the work of the gods. God, when he created man to rule the universe, actually to rule the world under God as his vicegerent. But paganism took man and he devalued man and made him a slave of God, to work at the whims of God, and the gods, not God, but the gods, might have no reason for just wanting to kill a couple of people or to harm them in some particular way. That was so different from the true God. So God had the Sabbath instituted. The purpose that the Sabbath testify of God's grace to man before pagan had become lost by an oppressive legalism in Israel that left the Sabbath day so onerous it became as burdensome as the seventh day had been for the pagans whose view of it the Sabbath day observance was instituted to critique. See, the Sabbath was instituted to counter this idea that God was a despot who put man under his feet and crushed him. And it was also instituted to counter the idea that the seventh day was an unlucky day that it was a hard day, so you, you know, out of fear, you kept from working. God says, let's reverse this. Yeah, you avoid working, but you avoid working because I'm allowing you to rest in my grace. So you see, the Sabbath was not created so that man suddenly had to stop working and had to be bound in prison. The Sabbath was instituted by God so man could rest. It was a demonstration of his grace. You don't have to work today. In fact, remember this came out when God had the manna in the wilderness. God said, I'm going to give you twice as much manna on the day before the Sabbath. So on the Sabbath, you don't have to go out and work for it. It won't breed worms. It won't rot or anything. It'll be there. So you just stay home and rest. R&R, rest and relaxation. You need it. So Jesus met and he corrected this oppressive legalistic view of the Sabbath day in Luke chapter 1, 6 to 11. First of all, Jesus corrected an errant view about harvesting and eating grain on the Sabbath day in Luke chapter 6, 1 to 5. On one Sabbath day, Jesus' disciples were criticized for picking, harvesting, and eating grain. Now, we might think that this criticism is justified because if in America today you were to walk through some farmer's field and just start picking the grain and eating it, or walk through his orchards and just pick it and eat it without, you know, making arrangements with him to buy the food, you would be viewed as stealing. So he could call the police and have you trumped up on charges. But there was a law in the Old Testament, and God made this especially for the poor. The poor could walk through any grain field, any vineyard, they could go through any orchard, and they could pick and eat what they wanted to eat to their full. The only thing they couldn't do is take along a bag and store it, because then they'd take the bag and they could sell in the market and make some money. And that's not fair to the farmer. But God said, if you need it for your eating, you can go into that field and you can pick it. You can eat it. You can eat all you want. So, you hope that you didn't get a bunch of teenagers coming by your field. You know, they could fill up both legs with this. I mean, they could really eat a lot. But that's what they were doing. They were going through it on the Sabbath day. The problem with them was they felt you couldn't do this on the Sabbath, and they felt that if you harvested the grain and then you worked the grain with your hands like this to thresh it, that was work, and that was a violation of the Sabbath, which was a capital offense. Now, God never said you couldn't do that. He just said, I don't want you to do any servile work, any work for money, like your regular labor. But if you were hungry and you were poor and you desperately needed to eat, you could go through the field and you could harvest that particular grain. You could thresh it, put it in your mouth and chew it, and you could have some food. That wasn't wrong. But that's what was going on. They were not actually violating the Sabbath, but legalistic tradition. Deuteronomy 23:25 permitted Jews to pick and eat grain from the neighbor's field. But Israel's leaders had developed the tradition that rubbing the heads of grain together to harvest it for eating on the Sabbath was servile work that God forbade on that day. Now, all Exodus 20 says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall do no work in it. And the work there is the idea of servile work. It'd be like Dave here doing his construction job, or Dan doing his engineering job, and so forth like that. We couldn't do that particular work for which you were earning money. That's when you paused on that particular day to rest. Or farmers, they couldn't go out and they couldn't be plowing on that particular day. Now, God would let them take care of their animals. They still had to give water to their animals and feed and so forth. And if the ox fell in the ditch on the Sabbath day, of course you could pull it out because you didn't want the ox to suffer there. That's another issue. But this restriction made the Sabbath day onerous, like Israel's pagan neighbors had done, so Jesus corrected the burdensome tradition. He revealed that David, under duress, was given the priest's showbread that was technically unlawful for anyone but the priest. He's referring to 1 Samuel 21, 1-6. In that passage, David was fleeing from Saul's court for his life. And he came by the high priest, and he said, do you have any bread here? And the priest says, we don't have any bread but the showbread, but since you're in a hurry, and this is a needy thing, we're going to waive the restrictions that allows, and God allowed only the priest to eat the showbread, but he said, we're going to give it to you. Now, this is interesting because we have grounds here. If there's a person who faints dead away and they desperately need sugar, and this is during a communion service, we have every right before God to take some communion cups and give the person some grape juice so that they can revive themselves physically before we go on with the service, if it were to come to that. That's something that is not dishonoring to the Lord at all. This is an emergency situation. You stop. And that's what the priest did. And it's interesting that God never condemned the priest for that. That was seen as a necessity for David's life. So Jesus was pointing out the fact that there comes a place where the technical violation of the law is necessary in order to meet dire human need, such as hunger, an emergency need, saving human life, and so forth. For example, I have no qualms. If I'm walking on the street, along the street, and I happen to be going by a bar, and I see a man keel over with a heart attack, I have no qualms about rushing into the bar to give the man CPR, to save his life. There's no reason why I shouldn't do that as a Christian. There's no way that would hurt my testimony. In fact, it would help it, that I'm going in there to help this man. And that's basically the point that Jesus is making. There comes a point where the technical violation of the law is necessary in order to meet the needs of human beings. This revealed the intent of the law, that the Sabbath must nurture, must always take precedence over the technical interpretation of the law that in this case was oppressed. Jesus further explained that he was sovereign over the Sabbath as God. He had the right to interpret the law opposite human tradition. You know, even though the people might not understand this, he indicated, I have the right to interpret. Now, it's interesting, he didn't directly critique the traditions that they had, but he's demonstrating their whole approach was wrong. Their approach towards him was wrong because he had the authority. And then their approach towards the Sabbath was wrong because the whole intent of the Sabbath was to nurture man. It wasn't to make man into a slave that the pagans did on the seventh day. So Jesus is actually countering paganism. Now, Jesus then corrected the errant view about healing on the Sabbath day. On another Sabbath, the scribes and the Pharisees watched to see what Jesus would do about the needs of a man attending the synagogue activities who also had a withered hand. It's highly likely that this man was a plant, because normally people who had severe handicaps like that were not included, but they apparently put him in here just to see what Jesus would do. It was a test, because if Jesus didn't heal the man, then they would say, he's not as compassionate as he thinks he is, or as he's trying to present. But if he healed him, then he would be violating another one of their traditions, which forbade doctors from practicing healing on the Sabbath, because that was viewed as a work. So they're trying to get Jesus cornered here in what would be an impossible task from their perspective. They intended to criticize Jesus for violating one of the traditions against healing on the Sabbath, believing that it was a work that was forbidden in Exodus 20:10. Once again, their prohibition had nothing to do with the Word of God. It had to do only with their traditions. So Jesus revealed that it was better to do good and not evil on the Sabbath, in line with God's initial intent that the Sabbath serve man's needs and not have man enslaved to the Sabbath as the ancient pagans did. That's why he said in verse 8, he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. You know, Jesus isn't trying to hide anything. He's right in the middle. Put the man right in the middle of everybody. And he rose and stood forth, and Jesus said, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? Well, this is a very powerful point. Jesus has the power to heal this man just by speaking a word. For him not to heal it would be doing him an evil, because this man would have to suffer another day with his deformity in front of other people, especially being embarrassed by putting in front of the entire synagogue. And they're looking, they're gawking at this man who has this infirmity. It's a terrible thing that they did to him. Well, Jesus didn't want to prolong the pain and the discomfort. And in another passage, it says that when he looked around on the people, he was very angry. He was very angry at the injustice that was being done to this man by putting him out in front of the congregation like this. So this is why God is going to honor this man in front of the congregation. So, not healing the man when Jesus had the power to do so would have been an evil, since it was in his power to heal him. So Jesus told the man to stretch out his hand. Now, in this, Jesus could have reached out and grabbed his hand and pulled it. But they would have viewed that as a work. So he said, you stretch out your hand. There was nothing wrong about stretching your hand out on the Sabbath. So the man stretches out his hand. Jesus doesn't do anything else but tells him. So Jesus doesn't even violate their tradition. And he gets healed. And they were beside themselves with rage, because Jesus worked himself out of the corner that they thought they could get him. Of course, Jesus has had eternity past to work on this, because he's known about this whole test from eternity past. They don't know how unfair the battle is, but Jesus has them completely cornered. So looking around, he said unto the man, stretch forth your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored perfectly whole as the other. And they were filled with anger, rage, and communed one with another what they might do to Jesus. So Jesus' critics could not reply to his argument, and they angrily left to plot against him. So Jesus presented himself as the Savior of the world and as God by clarifying that the Sabbath was meant to minister to man's needs, not to enslave him in legalistic taboos in line with the initial purpose of the Sabbath institution to counter false, oppressive views of the seventh day in pagan nations. So we need to believe in Jesus as God's Savior of the world, and then we need to rest in his grace towards us. It's interesting how John in his gospel said, the law came by Moses, but truth and grace came by Jesus Christ. And then he says, of his fullness have we all received, and grace piled upon grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the unmerited favor of God, was bountifully displayed in his life to the point where the disciples and people would just sit back and they were stunned at the graciousness of God. So we have to remember, we need to look at the law then differently. The law is impacted by grace. It's meant to disclose the grace of God to people as well. Now, it was designed to demonstrate how far man falls short of the glory of God by man's sin, but nevertheless, it teaches. I mean, the whole Sabbath restriction was given as a means of causing man to relax and to rest. So we need to rejoice in the Lord. I prepared this message for 2 weeks ago. Well, last week. Of course, we had the snowstorm, and it was canceled. And so I couldn't present it last week, so I presented this week, and I found I had to apply it today. And that's one reason why the Lord allowed the snowstorm, is he wanted me to apply it throughout. This is one of the emphases, I believe, that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is in desperate need of seeing today. Grace. Now, we're not talking about license. God never allows license where it's a violation of his word. But an attitude of grace, God is here to solve man's sin and to restore man and to nurture him. And in the context of the righteousness of God, we must remember God wants us equally to be gracious and nurturing to people. We need to present that attitude towards people. Until we get to that point, we fail to understand the intent of God in his workings with man.